Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. And this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 144. It's the week of December 10th, 2011. And I'd like to thank you for downloading the show. Appreciate you coming along. This is Ashlyn Dave, and I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, which is affectionately known by locals as the center of the universe. It's not something that I made up. That was made up some time back. It was the mayor of Ashland who coined that term some time back, and it kind of stuck. And apparently, if you've listened to the podcast before, you've heard this you've heard me say this before, but apparently sometime back, the former mayor named Dick Gillis was given a speech, and when he started his speech, he said, isn't it a beautiful day in the center of the universe? And that name kind of stuck. Ashland's kind of a quirky town. It's the only incorporated town in the Richmond metropolitan area in Virginia, so it makes it a little bit unique, and it sits right dab in the middle of Hanover County. All right, well, that being said, let me talk a little bit about the podcast for this week. I got a new podcast studio. This is my first episode with new equipment. No, I still do it on my kitchen counter, but now I am using a MacBook Pro laptop computer, and the iBook hasn't been retired. It's just been relegated to different stuff in the house. My wife's going to use that just for some things that she works on. So we've got a very much faster computer, and I think we needed to upgrade anyway because we'd had the iBook for quite some time. And I use the GarageBand software to produce the podcast if you're a Mac person. So I'm hoping with the MacBook, it'll eliminate the humming sound that would tend to creep up from time to time when I use the iBook. What would happen is the CD player, CD drive in the computer and the laptop itself would tend to turn on unexpectedly sometimes and spin whatever was in there. There's no disc in there. And then it would cut off, and there was no switch or anything that I could find to ever turn that off. So hopefully that won't happen anymore, and I'm anxious to hear what the sound quality is going to be when I go back and edit the show. Also, one thing I was disappointed about with the new MacBook and the new GarageBand software is that it didn't really include any more jingles, which are just like if you listen to the front part of this podcast, you'll hear a jingle, which is just a short, rhythmic song, that's just one that I picked out and edited a little bit from the GarageBand library. I didn't see any more of the they're called sound loops or audio loops, is really what they're called. They didn't really expand the design. Software designers didn't really expand that. However, they expanded, it seems, the sound effects extensively. And well, that's not really something that I use. I use the audio loops for the most part. So anyway, got a new podcast studio, and just wanted to briefly mention that. All right, let me get into kind of some things that took place last week. I ran with my good friend Ashlyn Tom. We did a 12-miler on Saturday morning. Or was it Sunday? I know I had to do 12 and it was Saturday morning because I did Sunday. I did 10 on Sunday. 44-mile week. It was busy. This was actually week before last. What it is, my training, the training program that I'm following is from the book Relentless Forward Progress by Byron Powell. It's a good book if you're interested in getting into ultra running, which is very easy. Ultra running is not running any faster at all. It's slowing down and going longer. And the events, at least I've found, the events that I participated in are very rewarding. I don't really know what else to say. They're a lot of fun. They're different than regular road marathons, and I've really enjoyed them. And I specifically like actually road ultras. instead of the trail races. I'm just not that good at trail racing, although I'll talk about a 10K I did this morning, which I did pretty good on. But I did a 12-miler with Tom last week, week before last on a weekend. Actually, last weekend, and which would have been the week of December 3rd. And felt pretty good. It was a real good confidence builder, and I needed that. However, right along, it was during time. What did like think the last half mile? Tom and I were running. We had to add a little bit of distance before we went back to the cars, because we met at the train station here in town, and we had crossed over the street. I think I can't remember. Anyway, we're running down the sidewalk in front of a little 7-Eleven that's in the downtown area. And I tripped on a little raised part of the sidewalk, and I tripped right into Tom and almost took him out, and went right down on my knee, the top of my knee, like over, you know, above the kneecap. And he said something sounded like it hit really hard. I think it was my Garmin hitting the sidewalk. It didn't get scratched, or it might have been my head, but I skinned my knee really bad. And I've actually been having more trouble with that, you know, scrape about the size of a quarter, because it took a good chunk of skin off, and because it never really scabbed up, it kind of stayed wet for a while because it was it took so much skin off, it couldn't really, it took a little bit for it to scab. I actually had more trouble dealing with that than I have with the mileage that I've been doing. I did 44 last week. I'll do 40, I think it's 46 this week. I can't do the public math. I did 757, 6.2, and then I'll do whatever. I'm trying to do 21 to 22 tomorrow. Anyway, following while running, I hadn't gone down in a long time. Of course, you know, people saw me, and it happened to be right in front of the farmer's market area. I think it was the last weekend of the farm. There's a little farmer's market in Ashland that's really cool, and it's kind of seasonal. I don't think people are really selling vegetables now. They're kind of selling Christmas stuff. But, you know, I just got right up and kept on going and didn't realize how bad my knee was scraped until we got back to the cars, and I was done. So I dealt more with trying to nurse that injury than I have with any kind of muscle soreness or anything. And my mileage, I've really ramped my mileage. I'm probably a little quicker than I should have, but I've adapted pretty well and felt pretty good. So the runs last week were, and I take Friday and Monday off. I do double long runs on the weekend, and so I run 5 out of the 7 days. And as my training mileage increases in each week of these 40-plus miles goes on, I probably will have to take a break here and there and pull off one of those training days just to give my body a break, because I get up to that breaking point. And when you train, at least what I've learned, and I don't really dispense advice in this podcast because I'm not an expert by any means, but I have run 18 marathons, and I feel like I've learned enough where I can, you know, predict some of my own behavior based on what I've experienced. What I've found is that you take your body right up to that breaking point, and then you pull it back some, because you don't want to go get to the starting line injured. That's the whole point. You want to get there, you know, not overtrained, and you want to be right at the top of your game when you get to that starting line, if at all possible. And what I've found is that when I start getting those pains that are new, then especially when I've gotten to the point I'm getting close to running 50 miles a week, that's where my breaking point is, and I need to back off of that. And if it means backing off to the point where I can't follow the program that I'm following, that I want to follow specifically, you know, to the mile or to the training event, then I'm okay with that. I don't think I've ever exactly followed a training plan, unless there's like something I go to every Saturday morning. And, you know, I've always seemed to find a way to, you know, cut a corner here and there when I start hurting. And I think that's a responsible way to train. It you know, you can't follow somebody else's plan, because they don't know what your body's like. I look at it more of a guide. So the guide I'm following is from the book Relentless Forward Progress. And it's the chart that's training for 100K on 50-mile weeks. So last week I ran, when I do these numbers, I run Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I ran 7 on Tuesday, 10 Wednesday, 5 Thursday, 12 Saturday, 10 Sunday, for a total of 44, and had a great week, except for falling down and killing my knee. But it's not an overuse injury. That'll heal. And I felt good. It was a good confidence builder. Like I mentioned earlier, I needed that. And, you know, I'm back. I'm up in high mileage right now. One thing I joke about with this training plan and getting ready for this 100K and trying to get to the starting line as prepared as possible, which would be on March 10th, is I tell my wife that this ain't no sipping tea. You know, it's a commitment. It's something I want to do, something I want to see if I can do. It's going to be very hard, and I want it to be hard. I really do. And so this is something that I'm committed to as long as I can stay in the game, just like I committed to running the first 50-miler. However, I will say that if I get to a point where I'm hurting myself and I'm just going to end up missing work for 2 weeks because my feet are blistered so bad, I'll do a DNF because I've learned that I can't be out of commission in my family for 2 weeks without being able to get around. I mean, we got a child, got a dog, got other activities, you know, people are busy, got stuff to do around the house, you know, being laid up with the bandages on both your feet where you can't walk is not really the lifestyle that I'm expected to lead with the people that count on me. So I want to get to the starting line as good as I can, and it won't be long before I'm duct taping my feet again. I feel like I'm being a lot more serious with preparing for this ultra. And so far, I haven't taken any of the runs for granted. We'll see how that goes as the training moves forward. Because I've been known to take a 20-miler for granted before, after I've done a few of them in training. Sometimes you think that you can just kind of go out there after staying up late and do that 20-miler, and it's usually a pretty rude awakening. It's going to be the biggest challenge in my life up to this point, you know, physical challenge, and so I want to be ready. I want to be a finisher, and it looks like Ashlyn Bob and Ashlyn Tom are going to be my crew, and the good thing about that is that one of them has access to a house halfway between the starting line, which is at the Bodie Island Lighthouse, I think, and it ends down at the Ocracoke Ferry at the graveyard of the Atlantic Museum. And one of them has access to a beach house in between those two points, those two points being approximately 63 miles apart. So that'll work out pretty good. Looks like we might have some families attending the finish. Okay, so how am I getting to these long runs? What am I using? And if you've been listening to the podcast before, then you know that I use a very modified run-walk system that has been successful in the past for me, and it's something I'll be doing again. I like the run-walk system. It's something that I did not know if I wanted to do it at all at the beginning. The hardest part being with that was walking so early in a race when everybody's running past you. But I found during that first time, which was the Lower Potomac River Marathon back in 2009, I think it was, which is the fastest marathon I've run at 4:17, I passed those same people at the end that were doing the death walk, death march, and I was running. And so it's something that I like. I haven't had knee pains ever since I started it. I haven't really significantly lost anything with time. I think I've only broken 4.5 hours in the marathon twice since then. But I think it's also because I've gained weight since with this running thing. I eat so much food. You know, I eat between meals. I eat extra at dinner. I eat generally everything my wife puts out at dinner. We have a real good arrangement. I do all the laundry in the house. She does all the food preparation. It's a real good partnership. I eat everything she puts out. And I'm a Clydesdale now, which don't want to be. But so, you know, I tell these folks that, 150 pounds and that are running so fast, I tell them, you know, go out and get you a 50-pound bag of Sackcrete and hold that close to your chest and try to run. And that's how much weight I'm carrying. You know, that's what my legs are carrying. I'm not trying to sound like I'm some kind of martyr or anything, but, you know, it's a lot. You know, carrying 210, 215 pounds down the road for several hours, it takes some effort, and you definitely burn up a lot of fuel. So in order to save my knees, you know, I started doing the run-walk method, and I read Galloway's book. I change my run-walk intervals to however I feel like. I usually do start with a plan when I get out there, but for a particular long run, and I'll switch it around. For example, I went out and I was just curious to see what running five and walking five would do. And I did that for my 10-miler on Sunday, and I ran an overall 11:47 pace. Now, that seems very slow if you're running a 10K or if you're running a 5K, but 11:47 pace is pretty good for a 50K or even a 50-miler. In fact, that's pretty damn good. However, the key is being able to carry that on times five. You know, yeah, okay, if you do it for 10 miles, can you do it for another 40 miles, which is another, you know, 8 hours? That's the difficult part. All right, my dog is having a little bit of a cow here. His, one of his toys must have gotten under the table. Stand by. That's what you do in an amateur podcast. It's very unprofessional because it's an unprofessional podcast. You know, I went and get my dog's little tennis ball. He's got about 20 of them in different parts of the yard in the house, and turns out the one that he wants is the one that's under the chair that he just dropped, and it rolled under there. Okay, so we're talking about the 5 and 5, and I was very surprised what my overall pace was. I don't think I could do that for 50 miles or even 63, but it is definitely something to consider when I get to that point where I'm you know, need to reevaluate how I'm going to get to the finish line, because you certainly, unless you've run an ultra marathon past the 50K mark, which several people who listen to this podcast have, and I do apologize to those who are marathoners and half marathoners that listen to the show. I know I tend to talk a lot about the ultra running, but it's kind of something I'm into right now, so that's what the podcast is going to reflect. And I lost my train of thought. So the 5 and 5, 5 minutes of running goes by pretty fast, and the 5 minutes of walking goes by pretty slow, which is what you want, and it's a total mind game anyway. But you have to run the 5 at a pretty good clip. You can't lollygag. You can't shuffle step. That's the whole point, is to keep that 5 minute run where you're rolling along, and then you recover when you do the five minute walk. And over the course of many, 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 many miles, you'll be glad that you did that recovery stuff. So I wonder if that's a good strategy. You know, going into the 100K is maybe starting that way and trying to keep the damage down as much as possible for the early part of the race. There's no real cutoff for the 100K. It's 19 hours, I believe, which I'm pretty sure I can cover that. I mean, I've done 50-mile races in under 13 and then in under 12 hours. So I think I can make that even, you know, walking, but for the last part, but you always worry about going out too fast, which is something all runners worry about, and sometimes a good way to prevent that is just to start the race with a walk. Okay, so there's so many different variables that go into distance events. You know, you plan, but race day will always, you know, throw something up, and you know, like when I do these long training runs in town of 20 miles, I never have any GI issues. But I get out there on race day, and I do. So, you know, I just learned to expect that. This time around, I'm going to make sure that I bring the proper supplies to take care of any situations that come up. In the past, I've had to rely on others. So I've really been experimenting with this different running and walking. This past week, when I did the 7 miles on Tuesday, 5 on Wednesday, and 7 on Thursday with the 7-milers, I ran for 0.9. What I did is, well, for the first mile, I ran the whole mile. When the Garmin beeps, I walked for the next tenth, which is about a minute and a half, depending on how fast I'm walking. It's not quite 2 minutes. And then at that point, I'm running for 0.9, then I walk the tenth. And it's kind of neat to have the little beep of the Garmin as kind of a reward that it's time to take a little bit of a break. And again, you run it at a pretty decent clip. You take that, do a little bit of recovery, and you're right back in the game. And for the 5-miler, I just ran that straight because it's kind of short. But for the 7, I was experimenting with the run for 10 minutes and walk for a minute and a half, and I kind of liked it. So it's probably something that I'll work with again. All right, let me talk a little bit about the 10K that I ran this morning. Today was the second Powhatan Christmas Tree 10K, which is held in Powhatan, Virginia. Last year was the inaugural race. It benefits the Powhatan Christmas Mother and the Powhatan High School cross-country team. And if you're not from the area, this area of Virginia, the Christmas Mother Program is something kind of each county and city adopts, at least in this area. And the Christmas Mother is a person that coordinates the giving of gifts and other Christmas-related type of giving to the less fortunate amongst us. And so this is a big fundraiser for them out there. Last year was the first race. This year they did a little bit differently and had the staging area in the cafeteria at the high school, which is excellent. It's a very modern high school. And wasn't as cold as it was last year. I guess it was in the 40s at the start, which was very ideal. But I had a great time, ran 58:26. It was chip timed by some weird, it had wave starts because there were so many people. And when you registered, you had to put your time in there. And I thought I put, an hour, but I was in the last wave. I mean, I started with the walkers. My bib number was 4:58. The only thing I can think of is that it's possible that my estimated time that I entered didn't register somehow, because the wave that I started in probably had about 40 people in it. And, I ran up ahead of everybody and actually passed several people in the wave ahead of me, which started a minute earlier. So I don't know what happened there, but I still had a good time. A little bit of mud on the course because it is a trail race, but it runs through a Christmas tree farm around a huge, a small lake, big pond, and the trail kind of runs along the edge, and you can see the people that are way up ahead of you circling the lake, and it's just it was a real pretty, pretty scene. And then it ends back with about three quarters of a lap on the track, and then you come through the finish line. And I just had a really good time. It was kind of a Team Incognito reunion run. John was out there, Dana, Nicole, Kelly, and Megan, and me, and then a couple additions where a local friend named Chris Fuller was there, and then Dana's boyfriend JP was there. And one of the good things about this race is you can enter as teams, and of course we entered as Team Incognito. But we had some people back out, so the girls actually formed what they do is that they take the fastest three times from your team. So obviously my time's not going to be taken. But some of the female members of our group had formed their own team, and they actually came in second place of all the teams. I'm not sure how many female teams there were, but anyway, they came in second place, which was pretty cool. Last year didn't get anything. So it was a good event. Had a lot of fun. Came in 137th out of I'm not sure how many, a couple hundred. I think it was probably between 300 and 400 people there. So, good middle of the pack, which is what's expected of me. I haven't won anything in my life. Don't expect to. But finished and got another race bib for my collection, which is always nice. I saw something on TV the other day that I wanted to bring up. There was a little news clip about the Antarctica Ice Marathon. I'm not sure it was exactly when it took place. I think it was December. Let's see. I did pull up the results on the internet here. It was, December. I'm not sure. It was the 7th annual. It was December this year. And, of course, it's on ice. The winning time was 3 hours, 47 minutes. A guy out of France named Clement Thévenet. And the reason I bring this up is because the news people reported it as a marathon, but when they showed the people going through the finish line, had marathon and 100K underneath of it. And I thought that was very, very interesting because there was no mention of the 100K whatsoever by the people on TV. And the men's winner of that, which was one entry, was Christian Schlechter out of, looks like, Australia, finishing time of 19 hours, 58 minutes, 14 seconds, with only one female participant out of Great Britain, Susan Holliday, at 21 hours, 50 minutes, 2 seconds. And there was a wheelchair marathon participant, 9 hours, 48 minutes, William Tan, that's Singapore, S-I-N, I think. Is that the abbreviation for Singapore? Anybody know? So the reason I bring this up is because the finishing banner that they showed on TV in this news channel had Antarctica Ice Marathon and 100K, and there's no mention of the 100K at all by the news commentator. They probably didn't even know what that stood for. No mention at all. But they said it was sub-zero temperatures, and You know, I've done a sub-zero temperature ultra before. In 2009, I ran the Swinging Bridge 50K, and my car's thermometer had negative 2 degrees Fahrenheit on the car's thermometer when we got out of the car. And Tom, you remember that one. That real short story associated with that is that I was so far in the back of the pack, by the time I got to the river and creek crossings, everything was broken up. When I say river, I mean small rivers. So I had to run through the water, and boy, that was cold. But you can believe it. And then at one of the aid stations, I was trying to change into dry socks, and my laces had frozen, and I couldn't get my untie my shoes. So I don't seek out races in the snow. So, but my hat is off to these people that ran the ice marathon up there. I thought that was interesting, and good. You know, at least there's some coverage for the marathon on some of the news. All right, well, let's get into some of the email bag section of the show. Got several emails, which always bring up new topics of discussion. And before I get into the email bag section of the show, you can email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. It's pretty easy to remember. If you got a question about the show or want to write in, we usually get a pretty good group of emails each time I do the podcast, so that's why it becomes part of the show. And there's always somebody always brings up something that draws more commentary out of me. So let's check out the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. All right, I heard from Chris out of Georgia, and I think I mentioned this in the last show, but he has got a big 100K coming up in February of 2012. It's called the Iron Horse 100K. It's in Flora Home, Florida. And I was just looking at the website. It's an old rails to trails that starts in Flora Home, Florida. I'm not sure exactly where that is in Florida, but it parallels Highway 100. And it's a this is how the course is described on the website. It's a 25-mile out and back old rail trail. It's flat with grassy and gravel surfaces. 4 miles of it is paved, and it's no hills, shaded, and scenic. If Florida was any closer to where I live, I would probably be doing that race. I mean, that sounds like my kind of terrain. You know, 100K is hard enough, 50 miles is hard enough. I'm not interested in, you know, a course that, you know, makes it harder. That's just the way I am, and I'm not looking for the easy way, because, you know, ultra runs are not easy. But I just, the single track trails that climb straight up mountains is just not something my body can handle. So Chris, I wish you all the best for that. And, you know, hang in there with the training. I know we've been discussing a little bit of what our training plans are. Hopefully, I know you're in the thick of it, because I know I am. So it's good to hear from you, and I appreciate, always appreciate the email. I heard from Snuggy Bear, who's one of our Team Incognito members, who bagged a run this morning. We didn't see him, but he's still listening to the show. He liked listening to the podcast about living in a small town, and his comments were on a different show, and he said he was struck by a description that I did of meeting myself, and unfortunately I don't remember specifically what show that was, but let me just quote what John put in his email, and that might strike a chord with somebody. You might remember, I've talked about him in the show before, John and Crash Kreider did back-to-back marathons in 24 hours. They did the Hatfield-McCoy marathon in the morning, and then we drove from wherever that was, Westville, Kentucky, 8 hours west of Paducah, Kentucky. And then they did a running, it's called Running Under the Stars Endurance Run, and it was, I think, a 10-hour endurance run from 8 at night till 6 in the morning. And both of them cleared the 50K mark in that second race. So within 24 hours, they had run a marathon and then an ultra. Anyway, here's John's email quote. I refer to this as hitting bottom. I got there at Paducah. For me, that's a dark and lonely place. I felt like I was ready to quit because I couldn't run without pain, and it was pain that I wasn't willing to go through, so I was ready to give up. But then I thought about dragging you, Matt, and Crash all over Kentucky, and I felt like I was also letting you guys down. What really changed my attitude was a realization that I didn't have to run to finish 50K. Either 50K was my goal. It would have been a very different experience if I had been forced to run to meet my goal, so we got up pretty easy. He said the Hatfield-McCoy and the Paducah, which was the 10-hour endurance run was my toughest physical challenge. I believe a 50-mile or even more is possible for me, but I've got to get my ankle stronger. I have no doubt that John will probably do another ultra one of these days. We just got to get him out there again. So, John, it's good to hear from you, and I appreciate you sending the philosophical email, because sometimes that helps put me in perspective also. Got a comment from Rich out of Virginia Beach on the website. You can go to the website and check those out at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And he's still keeping up with the podcast. He gets really busy at work. However, he did his first ever 15-miler last weekend through First Landing State Park, and he was very encouraged when he finished, and he felt like he still had some left. And so his first ever marathon might not be such a long-term goal after all. Looks like he might be able to get to that a little bit sooner. And anyway, he said he might make it up to the center of the universe someday and pop in on me. And I tell you, Rich, you're always welcome. We have races, two big races a year. We got the Ashland Railroad Run, which is coming up in late April, and then, of course, the Patrick Henry Half Marathon in late August. There's always little stuff in between, but those are the big ones, and maybe one of these days you can catch a ride up with Dr. Smitty, and you know, we can all participate. Well, I'll be race directing the Railroad Run again this year, but I'll be running the Patrick Henry Half probably until I can't run anymore. I mean, I've run all five of them, and that might be the one that I do each time. So I can always drag my ass through 13.1 miles, it seems. So good to hear from you, and pick a marathon, man, and go for it, because you'll never regret it. I can speak from experience on that. I have never regretted making that decision. I've met people that I would never. Well, it's the same way with you, because I met your whole Daily Mile group down there. Yeah, you meet people that you would never ever meet, and your eyes are open up to different ideas and things that you may have never thought about before. And to me, it's been a real healthy addition to my life, and I'm sure it was for you, because I really enjoyed meeting all your friends down there. All right, let's see. I heard from Chris again. He has a website, Running After Daylight. I think he's going to be updating that soon. And he's doing the... I should have talked about this earlier when he emailed me. He's doing that Callaway Houston Marathon on January 27th in Pine Mountain. That's the same area where the North Face... They call it the North Face Atlanta endurance events are. It's really North Face Pine Mountain, because it's not even in Atlanta. It's way south of Atlanta. They just use that so people think they can fly into Atlanta and be there real quick. He's doing that about 3 weeks prior to that 100K, so he'll have a lot of recovery time. I guess, Chris, my longest training run, I guess, is going to be 50K, but I can't believe that just doing 150K is going to get me to the 100K. I don't know. I'll have to maybe study that plan a little bit more. Maybe we'll trade some more emails. I heard from Dr. Smitty, and originally I thought Dr. Smitty was going to be able to pace and or crew for me in the 100K, but unfortunately it's not going to be able to happen. He's just got he's got too much going on. He's going to be down back home where he's from in Arkansas, and then he's got the Shamrock Marathon, which is the week after the race that I'm doing down in the Outer Banks, and then he's got some other stuff. And Greg, I realize that happens, dude. It's just the way it goes. I'm going to really miss you guys this coming weekend down at the Seashore Nature Trail 50K. John's going down there. I think Rodney and Tom. And I found out today that my good friend Kelly from Team Incognito is going down there, and she'll be doing her first ultra. And I really wish I could come down there for that. I just can't, because I've got an event that afternoon with my daughter, and it's a dads and daughters group that we're part of, and I just can't. I mean, that's just the way it is, man. That's just a race that looks like I'll be missing. But I do know that next year, and for the other listeners that don't know this, usually I'm on call for my job during the weekend of the Seashore Nature Trail 50K, which is next. That's December 17th. But next year, I know I'm not on call for that. We already got the schedule for 2012, and we've had two people added to our unit at work. So I'm only on call three times next year, which is it's so easy, it's not even worth bringing up. So, and I'm getting pushed away from the Christmas season from my on call. So who knows? Maybe I'll be there next year. That's if I make it through the 100K and don't leave my all my skin on the road. So all the best. I know you're doing the Kiawah Island marathon today. Gosh, I'll have to look the time up. So all the best to you, Greg. I hope that went well, and we'll be talking soon. Let's see. Heard from Tim, and Tim has started his own podcast called Ultra Quest. I listened to the first episode while I was doing the 10K this morning. He's got four of them out. Go over and check it out at ultraquest.podbean.com. He's a trail runner, and he did his first marathon in October, which was a trail marathon, ran in 4:28. And he also ran his first 50K, which is a Duncan Ridge Trail 50K, which bills itself as the toughest 50K in the Southeast. It's down in Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. Ran out with a time of 9 hours, 28 minutes. Has over 10,300 feet of gain. My hat's off to you, Tim. My 50K probably had, maybe 2,000-3,000 feet of gain, ascent, descent. And it took me over 7 hours to do that. So, you're incredible to get out there and cover that kind of descent in mountains. And I did look on the Duncan Ridge's website to learn a little bit more about the race. And it does bill itself as the toughest 50K in the Southeast. So I'm sure there's always people out there that want to do the hardest thing that's there. So I wish you the best with your podcast. If sounds like you're going to be down at the Charlotte Ultra Run in February, if you are going to be there, that'd be awesome. I know you're from North Carolina. I don't know exactly where you are in North Carolina. But if you're going to do that race, or if you're just going to be there, yeah, man, we can get a beer the night before. What my plan is I'm going down by myself. My whole family's not coming. I got a friend in Charlotte that I'm going to be visiting. But I'm going to just get a motel the night before. Due to run, I haven't read anything on the website about drop bags yet, and then I got a buddy that's going to pick me up at the end, and then I'll go visit with his family on Saturday night. So Friday night, yeah, I got to eat dinner. Well, you know what, I'll probably be getting down there after that. I think I might be working half day. Anyway, we'll email back and forth, and we'll figure it out. So anyway, good to hear from you. I wish you all the best with your podcast. Hopefully other listeners will check it out. That's ultraquest.podbean.com. Or just search Ultra Quest podcast in your favorite search engine, and Tim's podcast should come up. And interesting twist about Tim is that he got into endurance running as a branch off of endurance horseback riding, or endurance racing with horses, which I think is very interesting. So I'll be interested in listening to his podcast to learn more about that. Well, that's the email bag section of the show for this week. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the show, especially those that took the time to write in. That always means a lot. As a podcaster, you, of course, are always looking for material to put in your podcast, and certainly when people email you, that helps with a good another chunk of 15 minutes. I'm going to really try to keep the podcast between 30 and 40 minutes. I'm getting very close this week, and the reason for that is I feel that more people are more willing to listen to something that's shorter than something that's over an hour. And I know that when I download podcasts from iTunes and I see how long they are and I put them on my iPod, I might be able to listen to the first chunk of it before I'm either done with my run or I kind of want to move on to something else. And it's very possible that the material that I miss that's later in the show, I'll never get to. So and I'm not criticizing those shows. It's just that's just how I am as a runner, is if I'm listening to a podcast, I'm kind of ready to move on to it, to something else after about 30 or 40 minutes. So that's why I try to model my show like that. So anyway, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. And keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids, and see you next time.